Open your Bibles with me and let's go over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, and we're going to read the first three verses there. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit." Now, I want to give this to you in about three other versions, so just bear with me because I really want this to be kind of to just sink into us and to those that are watching. So let us stop going over. This is the New Living Testament, same verses. And it says, "So let us stop going over the basic teaching about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God, with teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware long, long ago. If indeed God permits, we will now proceed to advanced teaching." The Message Bible. "So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us, we'll stay true to all of that, but there's so much more. Let's get on with it." Now, here's the thing. We have to have the solid foundational basics of Christianity, of the Word of God. But we can't move on unless we move past the foundation. Okay? Now, some of you are looking at me and you're quiet. Listen, from the very beginning, this church has always, our goal has for us to go deeper in the Word of God, deeper in the things of God, and get a better understanding of the Word of God. Because there's always more. You'll never get to where you know it all. There'll always be new revelation that are brought to you. If you're teachable. If you're teachable. Now, I was just sitting there thinking about this a few minutes ago. Ever since we've been a church, we've been called a cult. Ever since we've been a church, they've called us a cult. Oh, they're a cult up there. And the reason they did that is because we do go on into some advanced teaching. We go past salvation. Now, salvation is the most important thing you can teach, get somebody saved. But once you get saved, now you need to learn how to live this life according to the Word of God. And because we believe what the Word says, we've been called names. You know, but that's okay. They can call us names all they want to. But here's the thing. We're going to get over. I don't know about you, but I'm graduated from preschool. Come on now. I'm starting to learn now. I want to get up to the place where I can learn the deeper things of God. Right? Come on now. You see, and so when, you know, people say that, it kind of just shows a little bit more of their not understanding. I have a better word I'd like to say, but I'm not going to say that word. But it just shows that they don't understand that there's more of the Word of God than they realize. And so here, the writer of Hebrews, we believe it's Paul, he's trying to tell us, he said, listen, once you get the foundation down, once you learn the basics, now you need to go on into some advanced teaching. Now you need to learn more about the Word of God. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you know, he talked about faith in God, but you understand that faith in God is what brings you the promises of God. There is more to salvation than just being saved and getting to go to heaven. Once I get, the word salvation is an inclusive word that means wholeness, wellness, which is healing. It means prosperity and good living. Come on. So to get saved, you know, we got to understand that we get saved first and then we move on in the teachings of God. Yes. Amen. Now, you know, I get things like this, you know, because I'm a full-time pastor. You hear things like this from people that don't know any better. They'll say, well, I wouldn't give you a quarter to hear a paid preacher. Wouldn't give you a quarter to hear a paid preacher. They say things like that. And that's okay. Would you go to lawyers that were free? Come on now, think about it. The best lawyers are what? The most expensive lawyers. Why? Because they spent time studying their trade. I've spent time in the Word of God. And I've learned some things. And I want to give it to you, you know. I am. Okay. For you that are watching, yes, I do brainwash these people. Just so you know, I do brainwash them. I wash out of their brain sin and foolishness and ignorance and doubt and unbelief and all that stuff. And I give back to them the Word of God that says that they're blessed, they're prosperous, they're healed, and they can have abundant life. So just kind of want you to know that. So when you say I'm brainwashing people, you're exactly right. I'm using the Word of God to teach them the Word of God. And so what they know is what the Word says, not what the world knows, but what the Word says. And if you want to call that brainwashing, that's fine. You go ahead and do it. But these people are blessed. Amen. Why are we blessed? We're blessed because of the Word of God. I am nobody. Did you hear me? By myself, I'm nobody. But in Christ, I'm somebody. I'm a son of God, and so are you, sons and daughters of God. And see, here's the thing. The more we mature ourselves with the Word of God, the more we become like Christ. And that's the whole goal, is for us to become like Christ. A child of God ought not act like the world. We ought to be acting like the Word of God says we ought to act like. And so here the writer, he's trying to get us to get across. And he said, listen, it's time that you, now that you've got your basic foundation, it's time for you to move on now and into advanced teaching, it says in the Amplified, right? Again, Message says, but there's so much more. Let's get on with it. So much more than just the basics, okay? And then, of course, the Living Testament says, and God willing, we'll move forward to further understanding. To greater understanding in the Word of God. And that's our whole goal here at New Generation Church is, you know, we've got to get a foundation and then we start learning from the Word of God. Think of it this way. If you're building a house, what's the first thing you've got to have? You've got to build a foundation, right? Now, if you just build the foundation and then don't go any farther, you'll never have a house. Right? And the Bible says that you and I are spiritual houses. Matter of fact, we're the house of the Holy Ghost. Our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. I can remember back in our younger days and a couple, three different places. I can remember when folks started to build a house. Now, even the Bible says, you know, before you build, you've got to sit down and count the cost. But I can remember different places where you'd see somebody start a house and they'd build this big foundation, you think, man, that's going to be a nice big house there. But then years later, there's still just a foundation sitting there. Then after a while, because it's years later, that starts to rot and fall apart because they never did build on that foundation to give it a covering so that the foundation wouldn't rot. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If we're going to build our spiritual lives, you can't just stop at the foundation, because what happens is you start slipping because you're not furthering yourself in the Word of God. Come on. People start staying at home, don't go to church, not getting the Word in them. And the Word, see, that's the thing that builds us. That's what builds this spiritual house, is the Word of God. So you take the basic foundation and then you start building on it, just like a house. The foundation's great and you've got to have a good foundation. But if you don't ever put up the walls and get it under roof, when we were building this church, it was interesting because, you know, most carpenters, the main goal is to get a house under roof so you protect all your foundation. That's the first thing you want. You know, their goal is, I mean, they'll get up the walls, you know, put some walls on the inside to make sure they've got everything, you know, solid. Then they want to get a roof on it so it's covered. It protects it. Well, on a metal building, it's a little different, especially this building was. This building was a little different because these walls go all the way to the roof. Because about every wall in here is a firewall, you know. And so we couldn't put on the roof till after we built the walls up to the top, so that because the roof slants and we'd have to go up there. And I said we, because I was up there. Okay, because the roof slopes, then these walls at the top had to slope. And so you had to get screws in those things at an angle and then put the insulation on top of that and the tin on top of that. So our roof was the last thing to go on. And our banker would call and they'd say, you fellows still haven't got that thing under roof yet. And I said, you got to come and look. I would have to make them come out and look. We've got all the things done except the roof on. We can't put the roof on till we get all the walls up. And see, it was just different than what they was normal used to, you know, wooden houses and that kind of thing, where your walls are up. Then, you know, you get your roof, it's done, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, we need to make sure that we're getting our roof on spiritually. We need to make sure we're getting that covering from building ourselves up in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to show you some things here because it's prevalent throughout the New Testament. So let's just go up. Now, let me just say this before we go to the... We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 here. But let me just tell you this. Salvation is not the finish line with God. See, most people think when you get salvation, you got it all. You got everything. Matter of fact, a familiar saying in the denomination I was in, God don't give you no half a wagon load. Well, yes, when you get saved, you're saved. But salvation is just the beginning. It's the starting line, not the finishing line. You get saved, how many knows you're a baby in Christ? You don't know anything yet. Right? Come on, don't get mad at me. Now, I'm trying to get this across to us. So the writer of Hebrews here is telling us that we need to grow up into maturity with God. Look over here in 1 Peter. Let's see what Peter has to say. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Look here what he says. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Notice that. He says that we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Christians, when they get born again, they're babies in Christ. They need to get into the Word so that they can grow. And that's why Peter's saying, listen, you've got to get a hold of the Word. You've got to study. You've got to hear the Word. You've got to get yourself right into the Word so that you can grow up on that Word. You need to desire that. So a lot of folk don't even, once they get saved, they don't ever read their Bible. Amen. That, you know, that'd be like getting a job somewhere and not knowing how to do the job. Right? Never try to learn the trade. Listen, we're talking about eternity here. We're not talking about something that you can just get fired from. We're talking about once you get born again, this is our walk until Jesus comes and takes us home or till we leave this earth. Amen. We need to make sure that we're continuously building up our spiritual life. Because there's a real devil out there that absolutely wants to try to steal from you. Remember that Jesus gave that parable of the sower? You know, he talked about the seed and he said, you know, the sower sowed the word, and some of it immediately Satan came and stole the word that was sown into their hearts. That was that seed that was by the wayside. And then he talks about the fact that, you know, seed fell on stony ground. Didn't have much earth to it. And so it would come up, and as soon as there was a little trouble, died out. Amen. We got some stony ground folk in this church. Amen. Let's just put it where it's at. A little trouble causes them to fizzle away. You've got to get rooted. There's those that come up among the thorns. And the Bible says the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and they become unfruitful. But then it goes on and said those that are sown in good soil. But notice, even in good soil, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Even those in good soil don't really put forth what they should, because some is 30, some 60, but then some is 100. So I don't know about you, but I want to be in the 100. Come on, I want to be that soul that produces 100%. I want to learn the Word, get the Word in me so that I can speak the Word. See, our answer for most things should be the Word of God, what it says. When somebody asks you about something, you say, well, the Word says this about that. You know, now they don't have to take it if they don't want to, but how many knows the Bible is the final Word? Amen. It's truth no matter what anybody else believes. Now, see, and here's the thing about it. The Word's true no matter what anybody believes. And so when we desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that we grow thereby, we're growing by the truth of the Word of God. Now, I understand that there are folks that believe different things this way and this way and that way. But if it's not backed up in the Word of God, then you can't use that. That's only an opinion. And everybody's got those, right? Come on. You know, see, but your opinion don't mean anything if it's not backed by a truth. And the Word of God is truth. And so he says we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Now, here's some things that I wrote down about that. You can never grow past your level of knowledge of the Word. You can't grow past your knowledge of the Word. You just can't, because if you don't know, you don't know, right? Okay, here's something else. You can never have faith past your level of knowledge of the Word. You can't believe for something you don't know. You know, and can I just take that a step farther? Even if it's in your head, if it's not in your heart, you can't believe for it. You may know about healing, but if you can't believe in your heart for healing, you can't get healing. It's there. It's available. God's not holding it back. Right? But if it's about us believing, having faith for something, having you say it with your mouth and you believe it with your heart and you have it, right? And so we have to have knowledge of the Word so we can have faith in the Word in our heart so that it can come to pass. And that's concerning everything. I believe God for things. I'm telling you, through all this storms and rains and things like that, I understand that the enemy comes, and where you realize it or not, the enemy works in those things. And so it's a good idea for you to when they're given bad weather or whatever and say, oh, we're supposed to, you know, well, it'd be a good thing for you to just say in Jesus' name, storms. You're not going to damage my property. In Jesus' name, rains. You're not going to flood my property. You begin to speak over these things. And see, again, this is a little advanced teaching, because most people say, you're crazy, you ain't a baker. Jesus did it. Yeah, but you're not Jesus. The things that I do, greater things shall you do, because I go to my Father. It's expedient for you that I go to my Father, because if I don't go to my Father, Holy Spirit cannot come. I got the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of me. The same Spirit that was in Jesus when He said, peace be still, is the same Spirit that's on the inside of you. It's all got to do with your faith. What can you believe for? You say, I don't care. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Now, people can get mad at you because you believe stupid stuff. But I just choose to believe the Word of God. That's right. Come on. You're not who you were before you got born again. And see, people have a hard time understanding that. You are now an anointed son or daughter of God, a king and priest unto God, and you were placed here to have dominion on this earth, to rule and reign till Jesus comes back. What am I ruling and reigning? Against demonic activity?
That's right.
Come on. Against the evils of this world? You stand as a beacon, a light, Jesus said. A light, right? He said, you're salt. And see, the trouble is most people don't, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, I'm just happy. No, that you were a sinner. We all were. We all came from the same background. We all came from that sinner. But now you've been saved. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of light. So now you're not that same person. You've been changed. You're a new creation that's never been before. And so that creature that's been recreated now needs some nourishment. Here we ate the world. Here we need to eat the Word. Here we took in everything the world said. That's what we believed. But here we take in what the Word says, and that's what we believe. Yeah, but people think you're crazy. That's all right. I'd rather be crazy for Jesus. It's crazy for the world. Because, you know, the crazy for the world just leads to hell. But crazy for Jesus leads to heaven.
Yes,
come on, there was a song back in, I guess it was in the, what was that, 80s, 90s, 70s, I don't know. I don't care if they call me a Jesus freak.
Yes.
Toby Mac, it was, what was it, DC Talk back then. Yeah. I don't care if they label me a Jesus freak, that's what I am. My life is for Him. I've rededicated my life to Jesus. I know what it's like to live the loose Christian life. Actually, you're just backslidden and won't admit it. I've been there and done that. But once I committed my life wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never wanted to turn back. I don't plan on turning back. And I've surrendered my life wholly to Him. Amen. When He called us to be pastors, we committed our lives to Him wholly. Amen. And so we're coming up on 26 years now over here. I did not want to come to Magoffin County. I didn't want to come to Magoffin County. I would rather God had taken me from somewhere where I didn't know people and whatever. But this is where God called me. And I thank God He did now. I see what God has done. Look around you, church. I couldn't have done this. She couldn't have done this. God used all of us to do this. This is God. It's God. And what God raises up, ain't no man can put down. Doors God opens, ain't no man can shut. But what we have to do, church, is we have to make sure that we're keeping our lives founded on the Word of God, growing up in the Word of God, and nourishing on the sincere milk of the Word of God. That's what He wants us to do. And so, as long as we do, I'm going to tell you something. I've never had God fail me yet. I've never had God fail me yet. I have had people that did not know Jesus as their Savior, people that were lost. When we were doing all this, they were volunteering to help and do stuff, giving us stuff and using stuff, and God just blessing it. And He still is. He still is. Thank God for that. Praise God. See, that's God. It's not got anything to do with us except our faithfulness to follow Him. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. So here He says, we need to desire this sincere milk of the Word. I've got to try to hurry. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me show you kind of the opposite of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, now understand that the church at Corinth was a very zealous church. They were zealous after God. They wanted you know, the gifts of the Spirit operating. They wanted seeing miracles and signs and wonders. That's all good. But they had a problem with order. So Paul, when you read 1st, 2nd Corinthians, you'll hear Paul doing a lot of instructing on for them how to behave themselves. Oh, especially chapter 12 spiritually and 13 about love and those kind of things, because they had a lot of zeal, but they didn't have any knowledge. See, and there's a lot of folks like that. They love God with all the heart, but they don't know why. And they don't know anything about Him because they've never grown past the part they got saved and they love God, but they need to grow themselves. They need to learn the Word of God. Look here what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" See, he says, listen, I've tried to teach you, but you weren't teachable. That's what he's saying. Let me give that one to you here. I believe this is in the New Living. I didn't put it's either that or the Message, but I believe it's Living. It says, "But for right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing much more than nursing at the breast. Well then, I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast, content only with when everything is going your way?" Notice that. That's pretty good, isn't it? He says, listen, if we've got to have our way and that's the kind of, we're acting like that, quarreling, fussing, carrying on stuff. He said, we're still babies. He wants us to grow up. He says, you know, you've got to realize that you can't have everything your way. If you go study chapter 13 over in 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, you'll find out that love doesn't have to have its own way. Amen. And every one of us are supposed to be walking in love. Now, jump over here with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We talked about a few minutes ago. They didn't want to have teaching. They wouldn't hear teaching. In Hebrews chapter 5, let's look here at verse 9. I want to show that to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing." Notice what he says. He said, I've got a lot to teach you, but I can't teach it to you because you're dull of hearing. You don't want to hear what I got to say. Isn't that amazing? I'll be honest with you. I've had experience with that. I've had the things where I would say, here's what the Word says right here. And they say, yeah, but now that's not the way I believe it. I'm sorry, but that's what God said. You can believe what you want to. And that's what he's saying. He said, I'm trying to keep you and get you into some deeper understanding, but you have to understand that I can't give that to you. You're dull of hearing. And he goes on. He says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." What's he saying? He says, listen, we have to make sure that we stay in the Word and that we practice the Word. He says, we don't need to be to the point to where we forget what we've learned. Come on. We need to be always renewing our mind with the Word of God. Come on, renewing ourselves with the Word of God. Quoting scriptures, memorizing scriptures. Yeah, but I'm not a preacher. I don't got to quote scriptures. I'm going to tell you something. You might be in a place and a time that there's not a preacher around anywhere, and it'd be a real good ideal if you knew some scriptures to speak over your situation, whatever it is. Amen. That's why it's important for you. He doesn't just command the preachers to study the Word. He commands us all to study the Word. We all need to know what the Word of God says. Matter of fact, the Bible says you need to be able to give an answer for what you believe. Amen. If you don't know what the Word says, then it's just an opinion and just like everybody else's, right? So we have to be careful, because they were dull of hearing, and so they refused to learn. They refused to be teachable, and so they remained babes. He said, I can't give you the good stuff because you won't hear it. And see, there's a lot of folks that just won't hear and understand and know that there's so much more in the Word of God than just the salvation message, just learning how to get saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So what we need to do is look at this. If we don't want to remain babes, then we're going to have to hear the Word of God so that we can grow our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, right here in 2 Timothy, let's look right here real quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy about. He says, all Scripture, everybody say all Scripture. All Scripture, not just the parts you like. Right? Not just your favorite parts. Not just the parts that make up a doctrine. Right? Come on now. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is for us to take, and so that we'll be thoroughly furnished unto good works. In other words, God wants you and I to continue in those Scriptures, because those Scriptures are going to thoroughly furnish us with good works, good things. Can I get an amen from somebody? Come on now. We as children of God have to continue in the Scriptures and allow them to mature us spiritually. See, that's how you keep from staying a baby, right? You get matured by the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to give you one more Scripture, and then we'll close this thing out. You're right there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just back up right here to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Notice who you're studying to show yourself approved unto. You don't need to study the Word of God to show somebody else how smart you are in the Word of God. Come on. That's pride and arrogance. No, you study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. See, if you know the Word, then you can rightly divide it. So many people, they'll pick out a Scripture and try to prove a point, but they're not rightly dividing the Word of God. You know, I can tell you that the Bible says there is no God. Did you know that? Do you know the Bible said that? Yeah. But you see, that's just part of the Scripture. If I was arguing there was no God, I'd say, well, you know, the Bible says there's no God. And if nobody know, if you don't know the script, what the actual Scripture says, you'd go, I didn't know it said that. But what it actually says, the fool hath said in his heart, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You see, so you can pick and choose and pull things out and prove whatever point you want, but you have to rightly divide the Word of truth. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You interpret the Bible with the Bible. So when we tell you that it's the thief that kills, steals, and destroys, and Jesus came to have abundant life, when you start studying out the Word of God, you'll find out that God is the giver of life. He's the God of life, not the God of death. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Come on now. You see, he's in. That's why I'm trying to tell you that to rightly divide the Word of truth means I have a full understanding of the Word. I don't just pick and choose here to kind of prove out my point. So that's what Paul is telling Timothy so that he can help him. Now, I want to give this to you, and I'm going to read on down 15 through 26 in the New Living Testament, and let you listen to this. And then, like I said, we'll move on. It says this: work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They've left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead's already occurred. In this way, they've turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are used for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. That's some good instructions for you and I. We've got to understand that, folks. Understand that we still are the children of God, and we're the ones that know the truth, and we have to help those that don't know the truth. We have to make sure that we're building our foundation, building our house on the Word of God. And if we do that, there ain't no devil in hell can tear it down. Come on, there ain't no storm. There ain't nothing can come against you. You'll stand strong. When the smoke clears, you'll still be standing. That's what God's plan is for every child of God. He does not want us to fail, does not want us to fall, but wants us to stand strong, build up on the Word of God. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to help us to mature.